Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series entitled Hashtag Jesus. We're so glad you're here today as we talk about this very important topic of why follow Jesus. Why follow Jesus? Please take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians. And today we're going to be studying Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. And we're so glad you're here today as we talk about this very, very important topic of why follow Jesus. Why should you follow Jesus? 19 times the Gospels record Jesus saying, follow me, follow me. But why should you follow Jesus? That's what we're going to learn today. Now, in this series, we are using the idea of social media. And that, you say, well, that looks like a number sign to me. Well, it is a number sign, but it's also in social media called a hashtag. And so that's why we're calling it hashtag Jesus. And so we're following this whole idea of following Jesus. In social media, people follow people. That means they become a friend or a person like that. And in social media like Facebook and Twitter and things like this, you make like a kind of a friend request. And people say, I'd like to follow you. I'd like to follow you. And then you have a decision, a choice to make. And you can say yes or you can say no. You get to choose. Okay, you get to choose. Now, when it comes to following people, there's usually a why. There's a why. There's a why people follow people in social media. Sometimes they follow people because of a family relationship. They're family to one another. And this is such a wonderful thing in our culture today that with families dispersed literally all over the world, that through social media and things like that, people can stay connected. I just appreciate so much in our own family. My son-in-law is Nigerian. One of my son-in-laws, one's from Mali, actually, and the other's from Nigeria. And I just love so much his parents. And there they are down in Nigeria, you know, literally on another continent. But I just so thank the Lord that they can stay connected with their granddaughter, Olivia, George and Sarah's child. And through Facebook, they can share pictures. And through FaceTime, they can, you know, talk to one another. That, to me, is really cool. Really, really cool. And so sometimes we follow people because we're related to them. Sometimes we do it because we're friends or whatever. You know, we know them. Maybe we go to church with them or whatever. And listen, some of us even have connected with people that we knew when we were growing up, when we were children. And I just had a really cool experience just happened to me 2 weeks ago. And right here in the lobby of our church, one of my childhood friends just shows up. And I haven't seen this guy for over 40 years, over 40 years. And you know how we got connected? Through Facebook, through Facebook. In fact, Joe, his name's Joe Hedges. He listens to my sermons. And so, Joe, I'm giving you a shout out right now. OK. And good to see you. Thanks for stopping by. We had a wonderful time together because of social media. You know, we follow one another because we have those childhood experiences. Sometimes we choose to follow coworkers. Sometimes we choose not to follow coworkers or whatever. A lot of times we follow people because of common interest. A lot of people follow me because of my focus on health and wellness and things like that. And so I have lots and lots of friends out here who I don't personally know who, you know, befriended me on social media because they wanted to see if I would say something about health or wellness, which I do from time to time. The point I'm trying to make to you is there's a why. There's a why. And when it comes to following Jesus, there is a why. There is a why. And we're going to look at that today. Why follow Jesus? Now, before we do that, though, I want to do something today I didn't do last week. I told you I was going to give you a little bit of background information today. And it just seems like Easter Sunday is just not the time to kind of go into some of this stuff. And so I want to take a few minutes here today, week number two of the series, and give you a little background information that's very important. In Colossians 1 verse 2, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. In Colossae. Let's talk about this Colossae issue, okay? This Colossae issue. And this was a Bible book written to people that lived in a small town called Colossae. And that's why they're called Colossians. It's written to the Colossians. And just like we live in America, we're called Americans. We're called Americans. So they're called Colossians because they lived in this town called Colossae. Now, I have here a map. I don't know if you can see it at all or whatever, but it kind of gives you some idea. Here's Rome over here. Here's Philippi, the book of Philippians, Thessalonica, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, Corinth down here. You come all the way over here. You got Jerusalem. Then you got Damascus. Then you got Antioch. And then you got Tarsus, Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. But right here in the middle, you have Ephesus and Colossae. Now, this is about 100 miles apart here, about 100 miles. And so this is a town that one time was pretty strong. It was a pretty, up-and-coming town. But by the time Paul is writing to this church in Colossae, this town has pretty much gone downhill. And it's become what we would call a small town. A small town. And we need to realize that and we need to understand that because it's significant. And there's a valuable lesson to that. And that is, I mean, this is the smallest town where there is a Bible book written to people living in a town. I mean, this is by far the smallest town of all these places we read about in Scripture. I mean, this is a small place. And, you know, there's a valuable lesson behind that. And that is, you know what? I mean, they matter to God. They matter to God. And God didn't just view them as some small town, from a worldly standpoint, this was an insignificant place. This was a place that was not esteemed. It wasn't, nobody went around saying, I'm from Colossae or whatever, They said, I'm from Colossae or whatever, okay? It was a small town. But you know what? They mattered to God. So much that God gave the Apostle Paul, who had such apostolic authority, to speak into their church and to speak into their lives, and they got a whole Bible book. People matter to God. And a lot of times we might think, well, those people, it's a small town, that it's really not important, it matters to God. And one of the things I want to highlight right now is my brother. How many of you knew that this week was Sibling Day? Anybody raise your hand? You knew it was Sibling Day. Raise your hand. Okay. Now, who in the world makes this stuff up, by the way? How many of you didn't know there was a Sibling Day this week? Raise your hand. Okay. It's probably the difference between those on social media and not. Most of you that raised your hand didn't know anything about Sibling Day. You probably aren't on Facebook, okay? Or you probably don't look at it. Because if you looked at Facebook on that day, I forget which day it was, I mean, there was all kinds of posts of people putting up pictures with their sibling or siblings. And I did that, okay? And I posted a picture of my brother and I. There's just two of us in the family. And this is me, over 100 pounds in first grade, okay? And this is my older brother. He's 8 years older than me. And so his name is Don. And I just love this picture, okay? I love this picture. And today I want to honor my brother, okay? I want to honor my brother. And it just so happens both of us grew up and became pastors. But in our pastoring, we took very different paths. I mean, God called me to this metropolitan area, and county, Fairfax County, over 1 million people in just this one county, 3-4 plus million people around the Washington metro area. And I'm wired for this. I mean, this is, people say, I want to retire and go to the country. Help yourself, okay? Just go ahead, okay? I never want to retire and go to the country, okay? I hate the country. Do you understand it? I hate it, okay? I want to die of smog, okay, is what I want to die of. So So knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. Enjoy yourself or whatever, okay? I'm never going there, okay? But you know what? God called my brother to a different place. God called my brother to Colossae. My brother, for over 40 years, has pastored the same church. He pastors Calvary Baptist Church in Denton, Maryland. You know what is the size of Denton, Maryland? I looked it up this morning, unless somebody moved over the weekend, okay? 4,359 people live in Denton, Maryland. 4,349 people live in Denton, Maryland. What is that, 10 blocks around us here or whatever? Who knows, okay? You know what? God cares about Denton, Maryland. And he sent a man of God there and his wife, a woman of God, to build a great church. Because small towns matter to God. They matter to God. So this was a small town. Secondly, the church. There's a church there. Now, it's important to note that Paul did not start this church. Most of the books he writes to churches are churches that he personally starts. He says to them in chapter 1, verses 4 and 9, I heard of your faith. He didn't personally see it or experience their faith. He heard about their faith. In fact, in chapter 2, verse number 1, he flat out says, many I have not seen my face in the flesh. He specifically says that we never saw each other. We never met each other. So this is an unusual church because he didn't directly plant this church. So let's go back to our map and let's learn how this church got started. This church got started because here is Ephesus. Remember I told you it's about 100 miles between these two. In Ephesus, Paul spent 3 years. 3 years ministering in Ephesus. And God did a great work in Ephesus. God did a wonderful work in Ephesus. And one of the things that happened in Ephesus was a guy named Epaphras got saved there. He came to know Jesus. And look who's mentioned in verse 7, Ephesians 1:7, as you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. You see, God used this man named Epaphras, who got saved over here in Ephesus, and at some point in time, God called him out of there, God called him to go over here to Colossae, and he started this church. This church, Epaphras. And I love it says he's a faithful minister of Christ. Three times, the word minister is used in chapter 1. And next Sunday, we're going to be talking about ministry. We're going to talk about following Jesus in ministry. Following Jesus in ministry. Three times in this one chapter, the word minister is used. And I love the description of Epaphras. He was a faithful minister. He was a faithful minister. God's called us to be faithful ministers for him. And so we learn here just the importance of ministry and making a difference in people's lives and how God used this man to do that. And then we notice not only the city and the church, there's a crisis going on here. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things. The Bible's profitable for four things. And the first one that's mentioned is doctrine. Doctrine is important. Doctrine is important. Doctrine is a statement of our beliefs. It's a statement of faith. And what's going on here is there's a doctrinal problem going on. And the church is dealing with something called Gnosticism. Gnosticism. Now, I'm going to read from last week's Growth Guide, a wonderful explanation of Gnosticism here by Henry Blackaby, who wrote Experiencing God. And here he has a book on Colossians. And here, I just want to read a couple sentences here. The one you call Gnostics, what does Gnostics mean? It means the intellectuals. So So the Gnostics, that means the intellectual ones. And here was the deal, and this is what I want to highlight, okay? A lot could be said about Gnosticism. It was really kind of a blend of Eastern tradition and Jewish legalism, kind of colliding together. It was kind of a really mixed up teaching or whatever, okay? But one of the things they believed was that all physical matter is evil. So they would believe that this table, because it's a physical matter, is evil. This wood here, okay? It's evil. This cloth down here, it's evil. This is evil. That's evil. And guess what? We're evil, okay? In the sense that we're physical matter. And to take it a step further, when it comes to Jesus, they would never believe that Jesus came bodily. They believed in Jesus, not as Savior and Lord, but they did believe in Jesus, you know. But they could never believe the fact that he would bodily come, because they believed that was evil. Physical things were evil. And that's why at the beginning of this book, it goes right after Gnosticism. It tells us about Jesus coming bodily. It tells us about creation and how that God created the world. Paul, all this is directed right at the Gnostics, showing them that matter in and of itself is not evil. It's not evil. So this book was written to directly go against this false teaching. Why follow Jesus? Why should you follow Jesus? Three reasons. Before we get into them, let's read verse number 18. Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Let me read that again. That in all things he may have the preeminence. Many people, in fact, most people, most theologians, teach that this is the key verse of Colossians. I have chosen to go in a different direction. Okay, I have chosen Colossians 2:6-7 as the key passage in this book. But many, in fact, most believe that Colossians 1:18 is the key verse. Okay, and really what it's saying is this: Christ is to have the preeminence in all things. Christ is to have the preeminence in all things. He is to be number one in your life. And so when we look at these three reasons why you should follow Jesus, we're not talking about just kind of following Jesus. We're talking about going all the way for Jesus. We're not talking about, you know, there's certain people on Facebook. I mean, I'm going down through my whatever. And I mean, I kind of buzz on by a lot of them because I don't even know a lot of my friends, to be frank with you, or whatever. OK, but I come across some of you. I say, ooh, you know. What do they got to say today? Or I come across my family, you know, what's going on with them today? You know, and so some of these people I casually follow, but some people I really follow. Jesus doesn't want any casual followers. He wants people to be sold out to him. So why should you sell out? Why should you give your all for Jesus? Number one, because Jesus is the Savior. He is the Savior. Luke chapter 2, we're introduced to Jesus. The world is introduced to Jesus. And how is Jesus introduced to the world? Do not be afraid, the angel said. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there's born to you this day in the city of David. How's he introduced? A Savior. A Savior. When Jesus came in the world and it was announced who he was, because Jesus is so many things. But the first and foremost thing that God wanted the world to know about Jesus was he's the Savior. He's the Savior. You say, why do I need a Savior? Saved from what? Saved from hell. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. That's bad, but it gets worse. The Bible says what we deserve because of our sin is hell. Is hell. And God wanted a forever relationship with every one of you. And he was willing to sacrifice his son, Jesus, to be the Savior. He came, he lived a perfect life, he never sinned one time. When he died on the cross for our sin. He was buried, and on the third day he rose from the grave to give us eternal life. Again, Paul is speaking about Gnostics. He wanted them to know that Jesus came bodily. Because again, they said, there's no way in the world Jesus came in a physical sense. There's no way. Because everything to them, physical, was evil. And he wanted to know he came. And listen, when he came, he has taken us from darkness to light, verse 13 says. He has taken us from slavery to freedom. We've been redeemed. That means he set us free. He has taken us from condemnation to forgiveness. Because he's the Savior, we have light, we have freedom, we have forgiveness. What a Savior. Man, I mean, he gave himself for me. How can Steve Reynolds give less than my all for him? I mean, if he loved me that much and he was willing to be my Savior, if he loved me that much and he was willing to come into this world and give his life for me, to suffer for me, I mean, what right would I ever have to say, okay, thanks for going all the way. You know, I'll give you 10%. No, that's totally unreasonable. You need to follow Jesus. He's your Savior. You say, what if I don't follow Jesus as my Savior? You will go to hell for eternity, okay? Because he is the Savior. He's the only Savior. He's the only Savior. There is no other Savior. There's only one, and his name is hashtag Jesus, okay? So get to following him. Number two, Jesus is the Creator. The Bible is so clear here. He's the Creator. By him all things were created, verse 16. By him all things were created. Is that hard to understand? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did the Bible start out? It started out with creationism. God wanted us to know right from the beginning how we got here. And listen, this is the very foundation of our faith. The fact that he's the Creator is the foundation of our faith. Does that make sense to you that the enemy would raise up a lie like evolution because the enemy wants to take down the foundation of our faith? That is the foundation of our faith. That is what we stand on. He made us. He, again, going after those Gnostics, saying God made physical matter. It's not evil. It's not evil. Again, he's writing to these Gnostics. He's trying to straighten this thing out right from the beginning of this book, okay? He is God, verse 15 tells us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. All things were made by him. All things were made by him, verse 16 says. All things were made for him, Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, that in heaven and that in earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. Listen to this. All things were created through him and for him. Now, let me give you a quick testimony about this verse here. I'm going to share with you as we go through this study some of these verses that have shaped my life in a big way. And this is one of those verses. Colossians 1:16 changed my life. Changed my life. And basically it changed my life physically. Physically. When I finally made a decision to fully follow Jesus as my Creator, it says, listen, that we are made through him and we're made for him. Through him and for him. You see, before I really obeyed this verse and applied this verse, I had a bod for Steve. I had a bod for Steve. I was a guy who ate everything he wanted to eat. He never exercised. That's me. There I am right there, okay? That's at a men's retreat, church men's retreat. I had a bod for Steve. I did what I wanted to do, and I frankly couldn't have cared less what God thought about it. I'd like to tell you differently, but I literally blew God off in this area. And you know what happened? I diseased my body. That guy right there has high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. He's a sick guy. Sad, isn't it? Oh, I believe that I was made by God. Man, I get up in this place. This stuff is nothing new to me. Man, I had Dr. Dwayne Gish speak at our church four different times. He was like Dr. Henry Morris. They were the early forerunners teaching the church about the Bible and Genesis. One time we had a debate. We brought in a Georgetown University atheist, and we had a debate right up on the church stage. Man, this stuff about God being the creator, it's nothing new to me, okay? I've always seen this issue and the importance of this issue and taught our church accordingly. But there's a second part to that verse that says we're made by God, but we're also made for God. Oops. So the whole time I'm up here talking about the evils of evolution and God the Creator, I got gravy dripping down my chin, okay? And I got a huge pulpit bumper, okay? It's called gut. And I still got a little bumper, okay? I'm working on my current bumper some or whatever, okay? But let me tell you something. This verse and others like it have helped me to lose almost 130 pounds now, okay? And let me tell you something. This guy here, that guy is full of disease. I'm 57 years old, I think. I get confused with my age, okay? I think I'm 57. It's true, I do. I get confused. My wife's not here to help me, okay? I'm disease-free today, as far as I know. Okay, I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have high cholesterol. I don't have diabetes. God sent His Word and healed me of my diseases, Psalm 107, okay? Point that thing right there, okay? I got a hold of that fact that I wasn't supposed to have a bond for Steve. I was supposed to have a bond for God. Lastly, He holds all things together. You know that all physical matter is made up, listen, of rapidly moving electric particles. Right now, this physical matter here is what's keeping this thing in place? Jesus. It says in verse 17 that He's holding it all together. I like that, don't you? I don't know the number, but the world's going around like a million miles an hour or something. I mean, woo! I'm not falling off. Amen? This thing's spinning. I'm not even dizzy right now. Okay? He's holding all this together. Okay, and then lastly, follow Him because He's the head of the church. You say, well, I thought you were the head of the church. Nope. I'm not qualified. Okay? I'm not qualified. But I have a wonderful chief shepherd. His name's Jesus. And He's the head of Capital Baptist Church. He's the head of every church, okay? He is the head of the body, the church. Verse number 18. And in Ephesians 4, it tells us, as our head, we're to grow up and be like Him. That's why we exist, to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? We're supposed to all grow up, it says, into Him who is the head, Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's why when we meet, we say, hey, y'all want to know what you're here for? At least why you should be here? We're going to lead you in a growing relationship with Jesus. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. He started the church. Matthew 16:18. He gave His life for the church. He gave His life for the church. Why should you follow Jesus? Number one, He's the Savior. Number two, He's the Creator. Number three, He's the head of the church. And Jesus said 19 times, the Gospels record Jesus saying, follow Me. Father, we love You and thank You for Your awesome word. May we all fully follow You in Jesus' name. Amen.